Take a look at that.
And go for it.
Wow, that was fantastic. That's that was the intro from EP.
It's not time for the top five yet.
Oh, our first technical faux pas. Yeah, that was amazing. What does that have a name? That was a theme song for the comic book show, by the way.
Yeah, it has a really long museum title that I don't want to waste up the whole hour saying, but it's
okay.
The short title is the comic show.
We may need that, so hold on to it. All right, welcome to the Comic Book Show, live, 1630 a.m. Chinatown, streaming as well on the World Wide Web at kchungradio.org. I'm here with Keenan, Marshall Keller, the co-host.
Hello.
Hello. Keenan's the publisher, owner of Drippy Bone Books. I guess he's more, you're one of the
co-director. Drippy Bone Books.
Of Drippy Bone Books, an independent comic book publishing company of such titles as Freak Scene, Galactic Breakdown, as well as the author of the forthcoming Humans.
Yes.
And that's actually a legitimate comic book.
Yes, it is.
And you know,
or will be.
We're gonna talk about, you know, what you bought with your first million, because when you signed that big time comic book contract, we're gonna talk about that. So hold that thought for just 1 second.
Okay.
Just a teaser. So one of his endeavors is The Humans, a comic book that's going to be published by Image, and we are going to talk about that. And a little teaser, I don't read a lot of contemporary comic books, but when I heard the premise of this one, and this isn't just like some radio BS, like I was actually excited about it because it's very cool. So we'll get into that, but there's so much show that, you know, I don't know where to start, but how you doing, Keenan?
I'm doing all right. Maybe we should introduce everybody here first, or should we just get into talking?
Well, I thought
about
we'd do some witty banter first, and then ease into, you know,
ouch,
the guests. So how did you? One of the things we were going to talk about is what the show is, but we don't know, do we?
I think we're finding out right now. It's an ongoing process what it's going to actually become.
Yeah, we have no idea what the show is. We're four extremely handsome gentlemen who like to talk about comic books, is what it's so far.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're handsome. No, we're definitely handsome.
Hopefully that's what we'll be talking about.
Yeah. Doing. But regardless, we're still handsome, right?
Yes.
You're attracted to me. All right. So. Yeah, I was trying to think, what is the show? We obviously like comics. We grew up on comics. And what I came up with is, where are the brushes? Our guests are a palette. And we're going to paint a picture tonight. Or if you guys want to be the brushes and we could be the palette, that's cool too.
Yeah.
I'd like to be the palette knife.
Mm-hmm. You can be the palette knife. And that kind of leads me to my first question. What kind of art implement would you guys be if you could be? No, that's not a question.
Thank God that was going.
Yeah,
real,
that was.
Real bad,
I saw.
Real quick.
I saw where that was.
Real
saw,
bad. Real. Quick.
I saw where that was going. Let's. You know what I forgot to do? Let's talk about the intro song a little bit more, because it was amazing.
Yes, it was.
When I first heard it, I actually got tingly in my bathing suit area. I'm not going to lie.
Good.
Yeah, I'd go so far as to say it awoke in me things which I've long since thought dead. So.
It's very childish.
Yeah, it's good.
How'd it's you, snotty-nosed.
How did you come up with it?
Pieces and parts of just random practicing going on there. You know, a friend was out of town and I bothered his neighbors by playing his crappy untuned drums, and I pieced together some of those sad licks and borrowed a bass with three strings and a guitar with four. And that's the birth child.
Yeah.
That's my Friday night, a couple of big bottles from Trader Joe's.
It was awesome. When I first heard it, I was like cracking up. I listened to it like at least 10 times.
I broke one of my biggest rules as a vocalist, though, and I hate when singers follow right along with like the guitar, you know. That's the biggest pet peeve of mine, but the deadline was cracking, and you know.
How many takes was that?
For which part? The guitar, that was all one take. That was just...
That's amazing. One take? Wow. That's the
one take four strings. That's my new nickname. E, one take four strings, P.
I like it. You know what we forgot to do? We forgot to introduce our guests.
Well, that's what you were saying today.
That's kind of what I was saying earlier.
But we had to get through the witty banter.
Because God we got through that.
Yeah, people have to familiarize themselves with us as hosts, as persons. They have to identify with us.
This is happening again?
Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna more Winty banter. No, we'll introduce. So our guests are Mark Todd and EP. I forgot. We're just gonna go with EP.
Yeah, EP.
Some
people may know me as Egos Personos from Imagine the Band, but
right.
You know, but probably not.
Right. Well, to those people who do, what's it, Egos Personos?
Egos Personos.
Egos Personos.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
We're ignoring Mark Todd.
Yeah, this
Mark
is Todd's, the real guest.
Yeah, Mark Todd's the actual guest. We're just a couple goofballs.
Spring this on me.
Yeah, I know. And that's the other thing. We did spring it on him, and that was awesome that he decided to come down and hang out with us.
Yeah, thanks, Mark, for coming and doing this second.
He saved our ass, because basically the show hinges on you at this point. Whatever, good or bad, yeah.
That always happens.
I know.
Just throw as much pressure on his shoulders as possible before he gets to speak even once.
Yeah, I've actually known Mark really long. Mark is a mini comics zine luminary, literally. I don't even know what luminary means. Does anyone know what luminary means?
Something glowing?
Yeah. But whatever it is.
It sounds good.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, you've been in the sort of mini comics. I mean, I've known you for 11 years.
Yeah, I guess so.
And Mark's an artist, curator, author of many books. Lot of zines, notably, I mean, there's really a lot, but you know, what people may know you from is Badass Zine.
Badasses, yes.
Yeah, Badasses.
Yes,
What is that?
That originally started, basically all it is a bunch of drawings of characters from film and television and whatever that I grew up with in the 80s. I'm kind of a 80s, late 70s, 80s kid. So I feel like we got all the best television. We got the best movies. We got, you know, and Star Wars was like one of the first films I remember actually going to see. And, you know, but then you got in, you know, there was all the other stuff. There was everything after that. And
yeah, there's like
it was great. And a lot of my work is kind of like reminiscent of childhood, which I think a lot of people do, but you know, I went to art school to kind of learn to draw, and then kind of ever since been kind of trying to pull back and learn to undraw a little bit, but honestly, you know, but still have that kind of skill in your back pocket.
Yeah.
So I think Badasses was basically something I just was like, this will be fun, let me just draw these characters I remember. There was Rambo and Snake Plissken and RoboCop.
Yeah.
And all these characters that a lot of people, you know, relate to. And I just drew them, and then I wrote some little fun words and memories from them, kind of just straight out. And
it kind of, I mean, you've done so much stuff. You've done work for, I want to say New Yorker? You've done stuff in New
York. That was not lately, not for many years. But that was my first
ever?
That was my first job. I moved to New York in 93 and just freaked out for like the first week, pretended to clean my studio and wasn't ready to get to work. And then I just decided I just better earn some money, so I just went to the New Yorker, knocked on the door, and dropped off my portfolio, turned around, went home, and they called me that same day, and it was
like, can we
send you to this show? And it was really stressful, but really fun, and then suddenly, boom, it was out like 3 days later on the newsstands. Like, it was just crazy.
Wow. Did that get you more work?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that directly did, but it gave me confidence, so... So I think the second, third job was, there was Rolling Stone and New York Times, and then I was doing, you know,
your first and second
covers.
Jobs ever as an illustrator or an
in
artist?
New York. Before, in New York. I did some LA Times stuff, LA Weekly stuff in LA as a student, but it was kind of like, wow, this is really cool. So I've kind of come back around to zines and comics, I always say kind of in a backwards way. Like my first... few books were published with major publishers, and then I started self-publishing and
making big time zine money.
I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
but you know, I think do it all. It was really fun. I think what really what started the zine thing, which I had no idea even what a zine was, to be honest. I started making just little books, like, you know, as promos and sending them out to clients. So I called them promos. And Then we later moved back to L.A., and everyone was like, wow, these are really cool zines. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
that was kind of cool. It was kind of an innocent way of just getting into it and not like, just, you know, and there was, I mean, I always bring up Souther Salazar.
Yeah.
It was like, he's someone I shared a studio with in L.A. when I moved back, and he really was like, wow, that's really cool what you're doing. I'm going to
Took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what zines are, basically. Zines are basically kind of like, you know, just calling cards between artists. I think that's like at the heart of them.
Yeah.
Just little things you make to say like, hey, I'm an artist too. And then you trade them with your friends. And then, you know, hopefully somebody sees them and says, hey, you're cool. You kind of work your way up through like the gallery ranks, or gives you a real job. Or something.
I think that rarely happens from zines, actually. But
really,
I've gotten big jobs from zines. But But now it's just part of my persona. I feel like I have to keep, which I love doing. But
yeah.
You got to keep making them, and it's just something else to. It's not all I do, but it's like something that. I think three or four of zines I've made have become books.
Yeah. Which ones?
Real books. Badasses became a book, and you know, that was published by Blue Q. Earlier than that, I did a zine called The Pain Tree and Other Angst-Ridden Poetry. It was really bad.
That was a book, and then
it became a book.
Yeah.
So it was a zine first.
You actually left a copy of that at the gallery 10 years ago, and I still have that. I'm not giving it back though.
No.
Statute of limitations has expired on that.
And I'm blanking on a few others, but my wife also makes zines and is an artist, and she's also published.
Yeah, Esther, for those of you who don't know, but it's only our friends listening, so they do know. But, Esther Pearl Watson is Mark's wife, and she's also an amazing illustrator. She does Unlovable.
That was her first zine, see, and she already got a book out of it.
Yeah.
See, Keenan, you big liar.
So
I stand corrected.
It was, yeah. And
you're
she
sitting.
Was like, I can't do this. It's your kind of thing. I'm not going to do it. And I was like, okay. And then she was like, oh. And then we moved to LA and everyone's making zines. She's like, forget it. I'm going to make one too. And then it was way better than any of mine.
So basically you're saying zines are the main way into the mainstream legitimate art world.
I don't know if that's true, but it seems like it can be.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think
it can be, because there's no, it's just, you do what you want. There's no rules, and I don't think you should make. Sometimes I've done this, making zines where I'm like, I'm gonna make a zine and then it'll be a book and I'm gonna be.
Yeah.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, that never works.
You can think that way a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, an idea is a good idea, but if you're kind of like trying to manipulate an idea, I don't know. I think my best ones are just like, wow, I made this. I wasn't even thinking. I don't know who's gonna buy it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, this is really old-fashioned art school advice, but it's true. Don't, you know, just make what you want to make, and the more weird you think it is, the more you should probably try and make it. Like, don't think like this is too weird to make. Let send it to us, and we'll tell you if it's too weird. Yeah. But don't self-censor yourself. We're professionals. We can help you. What's the address here in case people do want to send us zines? Because I'm sure after people listen to the show.
410 Cottage Home.
It was a really weird address.
Yeah.
Plus yeah. Just California.
Now they know where we are.
Yeah. We could talk about the facilities here. So,
how about comic books? Let's talk about that first comic book. What got him into comic books? Remember the conversation with him earlier?
Okay.
Someone else is talking?
Yeah. Yeah, well,
no. Yeah.
You know, let me back up for 1 second. We're going to get back to Mark in 1 second. But I forgot to talk about all the things we got going on the show tonight.
What do we got going on?
I have no idea.
It's almost done.
I have no idea. I thought you knew. No, we have a few things.
Yeah, we do have a few
things. We have a few things.
Door prizes or what?
We have prizes. If you can get a hold of the number and get a hold of us here, I will absolutely give you a prize.
There's a
Gmail number that you can call in, but I think it needs to be hooked up to the computer.
K-Chung web phone.
Yeah. If anyone makes it down here, I actually will.
There it is.
Yeah.
Is that it? 612-5-2-4-8-6-4-1.
Yeah, come all the way down here. You'll get a comic.
Yeah.
Random comic.
Keenan has a grab bag of comics for the first person who makes it down to the K-Chung Studios. But no, there's a couple things to talk about tonight besides Mark. But as if that wasn't enough, we have the story of how they what was my title for this. A cartoonist down, the case of the missing cartoonist. Basically, this is what we call a teaser in the business. it's a story of a cartoonist who disappeared off the face of the planet, basically, pre-internet cartoonist, really amazing woman, sort of working in an all-male field, and then she went on to do a bunch of work for punk rock flyers and zines, and she did like some underground. You would like her too a lot.
And you said she did cartoons at one point.
Yeah,
too?
She started out. Well, I feel like now it's going from a teaser into the full story. But yeah, we'll come back to that. And then we also have EP is going to be doing some reviews for us. What can you tell us about the reviews, EP?
Tonight will be the first installment of Collector's Corner, and I've found three really amazing gems, and I don't usually reveal my sources, but once the names and the artist names, the names of the books and the artist names are revealed, I'm sure everybody will be scouring the internet and their local comic book stores to get a hold of these.
Some real hard to find gems.
Really hard to find stuff. I mean, this is like borderline one-of-a-kind artworks and zines and comic book just in those three pieces right there. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
I'm in. I'm drooling.
Salivating.
Yeah, you can't see it.
And there's a theme song also for that segment.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's, wow. When are we going to, all right, well, you know what? Then we have, what else do we have? We have, we're going to talk to Keenan about the humans a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
And then with that, there was some music associated with the humans.
True.
Issue zero.
Yes. Issue zero comes out with a soundtrack, a 7-inch that we've released with two Los Angeles bands, the Smelly Tongues and Zigzags.
Yeah.
And we got the tracks here so we can play those.
Yeah. Let's get into the humans a little bit. Let's talk about that.
All right.
So I mentioned earlier, are you guys familiar? Have you seen, EPU and Keenan are friends, have you seen The Humans? Have you read your friend's comic book?
Yeah, I own a copy, yes.
This is like a really, really cool comic book, and it sounds like radio BS, like when the host
it's
says
out
that.
Out of sight.
But, yeah. So why don't you tell us I don't want to ruin it, why don't you tell us what the comic book's about?
The Humans is a... It's a 70s biker exploitation on an ape planet. So it's basically you take 1970s America with all the strife, Vietnam War, social change, and just turn every single human into an ape. So apes are the highest on the hierarchy of animals, and humans are below them and used as like slave animals. But basically, it's just a 70s biker romp, and we're looking at violence, sex, drugs, drug running, gang warfare, dirty cops, you know, basically all things I love about genre film and genre, the biker genre.
And then how did you, this is like a very radio question, but how did you come up with the idea?
I was in film school over a decade ago, and I was really into genre, and I was trying to come up with ideas for multiple genre, like horror, you know, biker, prison movie, you know, and I was going through a lot of ideas, and one moment I just saw Bikers as Apes, and it kind of clicked. And so I wrote a script back then, but it was one of those things, it would have never got made. Yeah. You know, nobody's paying to see a weird biker ape movie. Nobody's giving somebody, you know, a couple $1 million to make something like that either. So I kind of just put it off the side. Always thought maybe I'd come back to it. And then I told Tom Neely, the artist of the series, while we were drinking one time at a bar, and he flipped out and went home and like drew two or three drawings that night and was like, we're doing this. So, and that's how we started working on it as a
couple. Wow, that's awesome. Talk about Tom a little bit and like how you guys...
Tom Neely, he's
tell
awesome.
Tell him why it was appropriate for him to do it, especially with that large piece he has in his living room.
Oh, God. Oh well, Tom is... well, there's two large pieces in his living room. Hey, oh. But seriously, he's a guy, he's got a monkey fetish. He's got monkeys all over his fucking house. And I don't think he even realized how many he had until we started working on this project. And he was like, there's monkeys all over my house. But Tom Neely is an artist and publisher. He publishes I Will Destroy You, which is, he's been publishing his own works for over 10 years, I believe, at this point now. Graphic novel The Blot, graphic novel The Wolf. He also works on Henry and Glenn Forever. He just edited and put together the giant collection of all the short comics that have been coming out for the last couple years.
Are those called compendiums?
Yes, a compendium or a collection.
If you will.
It's a trade paperback, right. TPB, if you're in the biz.
If you're not familiar with those technical terms, you know, that's okay. We'll walk you through them.
Yeah.
Sorry. I sidetracked you.
That's good. I was just talking about Tom.
Yeah, talking about Tom Neely. He's going to be, he will be a guest on the show one
day. At some point, we'll drag him out. He's drawing right now. He's probably listening to this, you know, right now, but he'll be in here at some point.
Get well, buddy. We love you. no, he's not sick. That was weird.
No, he's not sick.
He just
couldn't do it. He's home polishing the monkey, if you know.
Oh.
Hey, this is a family show.
Is it?
No, it's not at all. We haven't said, you know what? We haven't said any cuss words. I feel like someone needs to.
Think there's been several that we just didn't even know we were saying.
Really?
I think. Well, I mean,
and I feel like if we said it now, it'd be forced.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Let's, you know, let's integrate it, you know, in a casual way. One other thing, a couple other things I want to talk about the humans. Talk about the Christine Colantes, the color.
Yes, Christina.
I don't actually notice coloring in comics, and if I do, it's usually because it's terrible.
That's kind of the way Tom and I have seen it and looked at it too. But working with Christina, she's really fucking amazing, and she brings a lot to the table color wise, and brings a lot of ideas. So I'm really excited to work with her because this is the first time I've ever collaborated with somebody else doing like writing and somebody else drawing. So then having a third person in the collaboration, it's just helped it a lot, you know. She does things that Tom, if he was coloring his own images, would never do.
Yeah,
you know, and she's just extremely talented.
Yeah, I mean, I thought from the moment I saw like the teaser, I noticed the colors, and I thought like she brings a lot to it. They give it like a, I don't want to say vintage. What's the word?
Well, we're looking for like a muted palette little bit to like mimic the, you know, 70s tone of the thing. But then there'll be splashes of insane color because there's also like the psychedelia. And we'll be dealing with some, you know, flashback elements in throughout the comic too. So there'll be spurts where she can get really crazy with the colors.
Yeah, you know, it'd be a good time now to talk about where can they see a preview? Where can people find this phenomenal?
Well, humansforlife.com is our website, and we have the self-published zero issue. But we are actually, it's not up for sale right now. It'll be up again in mid-September. So check around then, and we'll have it up for sale. And then in November 5th, the first issue comes out from Image. So that's when the whole series actually starts.
And then how did the bands get involved? Or
I've always wanted to do a comic with a record. And Tom's tried twice before, actually, or once before, and it didn't work out for him. So it's something we both wanted to do.
Did Henry and Glenn not go for that?
Yeah.
It's way too bad they didn't, actually.
Hold on a second.
That could have been great.
Someone should explain what the premise of Henry and Glenn is for
Henry and Glenn takes... Henry Rollins and Glenn Danzig and looks at them as if they were a domestic couple. Their next door neighbors are pot-headed, satanic worshiping Hall & Oates, and it's just about their lives together.
Yeah.
And then Tom took it one step further over the last couple of years and invited a bunch of indie cartoonists to do their versions of stories with them.
And,
so.
And that collective's called Igloo Tornado?
Well, no. The Igloo Tornado is who started the first zine with Tom. It was Tom was apart with three other artists, and that was Igloo Tornado. And then since then, Tom's gone on to publish the comics that have, you know, I don't know, this new compendium, as you call it, has like 65 artists on it that all do their own Henry and Glenn stories and pinups.
Yes, thank you for recognizing that I contributed the word compendium to tonight's proceedings.
Compendium.
I want to say
it. Do you have any music for a compendium? What would compendium?
What does EP? A compendium sound like?
He doesn't. he faked us out.
I thought you should just do Jaws anytime everybody puts you on the spot.
He postured like he had something on the keyboard.
Oh, yeah, that's, There you go.
Yeah, compendium.
I can't hear the keyboard, so.
Oh, we need to get you.
Oh, that's right. That's actually, that doesn't work very well.
Might be better.
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, what's... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to get back onto the 7-inch thing.
Yeah.
But
you're going to get back on the 7-inch?
I'm going to get back on the 7-inch.
Okay.
But yeah, we did it just because I've always loved music. It's a huge part of my life. And we both always want to do a project involving it. So biker idea, biker, punk, weird, heavy music, psychedelia. So we just started thinking about it, and we asked two local bands, one the Smelly Tongues that my wife's the drummer for, so that was like easy. I knew we'd be able to get them.
Okay.
And then Zigzags, his friend, been friends with Jed for a while. My wife's played in a band with them for a while, so we asked them, knowing that the Zigzags were like the perfect fucking band to do a biker song, and they totally gave us a great
song. Do we have a Zigzag song?
Yeah, we do.
We do? Would this be a good time
sure,
to play
we
it?
Could play the Zigzag song. It's called Let's Ride, Humans March.
All right, let's cue this up. I'm not sure what track this is for. Keenan's pantomime. He's pantomime. He's trying to be professional and.
On air hand gestures. You can't see him. It doesn't work for you.
No, it was good. All right, let's cue this up and see if we can rock this.
All right, this is the Zigzags.
But, so there'll be some... All right. We'll be right back.
And welcome back. That was the Zigzags. Let's Ride the Human March on the Humans 7-inch soundtrack, Volume 1.
Yeah.
That song was rad.
And during the break, actually, I just got some news. It's the Henry and Glenn Omnibus. I've been corrected. And I just found out that Mark is actually in that book as well.
Yeah, yeah, I was holding back on that.
Oh. No, what else are you... Wait a minute.
No, I just did a single thing. Yeah.
What else are you holding back on?
That's about it, I think.
We actually got some interesting news during the break, but Mark said we can't talk about it. So
you weren't even supposed to bring it up.
No, I know. I'm trying to shame him.
We talk about teasers.
Yeah, I know. So
stay tuned.
2016. Look forward to that.
He's running with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
that's right.
Wow. Yeah, he can't. He doesn't want to announce it just yet.
Oh, all right.
You never know.
So we're having so much fun, and I feel like, you know, a lot of the things we were going to talk about, which is fine. But you know what? I think it's time for.
Are we looking for the newest segment on the?
That'd be number 3.
What do you? Does this need a setup, EP?
No, but it's got a theme song.
All right. Yeah. No, I know. I understand. I understand it has a theme song. I just was wondering if it needed to be set up.
Oh, the Collector's Corner. We just talked about it before the music.
Okay. All right. Let's listen to the theme song. What's that? What's going on here, Keenan? Keenan's our technical director.
It's called double click.
Please hold.
Yeah, double clicking is not our strength
here
at the comic book show.
Please hold. Your next K Chung associate will be ready.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Collector's Corner. I am a collector, and this is my corner.
Good evening. Yes, I am EP, and I'm going to be telling you about a couple of wonderful pieces of comic book that I've procured in my travels recently. You'll know where I've traveled to after I've told you these items are. The first one is one called Crocodilla, and that is not a Wu-Tang spinoff. It sounds like it would be, but it is not. It's by Josef Toltemark and illustrated by Billy Reynolds, and it's about a half gorilla, half crocodile superhero to be. And
interesting.
The first one is mainly based on the romance between the gorilla and the crocodile. Now, I know it's in the spirit of Harlequin romance, sort of, you know, comics from the old days.
This is a complex scene.
Yeah, like 40s, 50s, I think they were very popular. It's like kind of like soap opera style, you know. There's a lot of Western ones, I believe.
Nice.
I know there's some problems because. You know, I'm not sure gorillas and crocodiles are ever near each other in the wild in real life.
No.
So already it's sort of a fantasy.
So.
You know,
right.
Sort of
a little
fantasy
bit.
Thing.
Just a little
going on. Yeah. I emailed National Geographic about that, and no one's gotten back to me.
That's surprising.
I know. So it goes through the romance of them, and then at the end you are you know given the pleasure of the newborn child, and for some reason the child has bat wings, and they're very large, like almost pterodactyl like. So I don't know how that fits into, you know, gorillas and crocodiles.
Yeah.
But I mean, and will this even be an action superhero? I don't know. Maybe it's the, you know, crocodilla going out to find his mate, you know, or can he mate? Is it a swamp thing?
Maybe it's the struggles he faces as like a half breed.
Exactly. And this is from Oudfron Press. So anyone knows Underground Comics knows they always deliver quality.
What's the name of the press?
Oudfron.
Oudfron?
Oudfron. U with the umblocks, LDFRON.
Interesting. This
Everything they do is like letter pressed and, you know, is really, really nice.
Yeah, this one comes actually bound in what seems
crocodile
to be.
Skin?
Yes, but I can't. tell if it's faux or not. Oh. I chewed it,
it must
but
be really
I don't
good.
Chew too much because I, you know, I'm a collector, so I don't
right.
ruin it. You know, but
you just like you just nibble, yeah. nibbled yeah, on the corner.
It's like actual, like a, wow. you know.
So is that like a $200 comic?
Yeah. This is a very intricate zine. What is it? What's the price
I collect,
point?
Because I don't reveal what I initially pay for pieces.
Because you get yours. So, you get yours at first offering.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. Thank you for your discretion. Next up is Gray Stork. And thankfully, this is not another vampirical venture. This comes out of Sitka, Alaska, known more for great fishing and bear watching. But this is a new press company, and they're started by famous shut-in artist Tomas Adrian Smith. And you all know, right?
Yeah,
I've heard of him. I don't know his work, but
I brought this one here, and you can see this is really nice stuff. I mean, look at those shoes that he those right there.
It does seem to... And focus on the feet.
Mark,
sorry.
Oh my God.
That's okay. That's all right. That's
wow.
This isn't his river.
Don't let Mark touch anything.
Yeah, Mark's not allowed to touch these zines anymore, even though he makes
this
them.
This one is it's a dark.
Well, hold on a second. Should we? Because I feel like there's so much to talk about. Should we? Or do you want to get through the whole thing? I shouldn't interrupt you. All right,
No. Yeah. Do you have a question about Crocodilla?
I mean, I have
I brought a copy.
Yeah. What was that thing we were just crinkling? I thought that was
the
a copy.
Gray Stork.
No,
oh, the Gray
Stork.
Oh, the Gray Stork. The Gray Stork.
Yeah.
What did you think about the Gray Stork, Mark?
I thought, is it referencing Gray Tarzan?
Is it the Gray Stork reference?
Stork? No, not at all.
Not affiliated.
Just a
coincidence.
No. Yeah. I thought it was a play on that, but it has nothing to do with it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You ready for the kicker?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a dark sort of horror comic, much like The Twilight Zone, where in each series it centers around a couple or person who wants a child but can't conceive.
Oh my God.
The stork delivering the babies.
Wow.
Yes. And Gray Stork lives in Black Cabbage Patch, and each procurement is done in a different manner, and it all has sort of a Rosemary Baby sort of vibe about it.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? It all has sort of a Rosemary's Baby sort of vibe to it. And I have series 3 and 6, and I'm not sure that 1 and 2 even exist. If you know Tomas's work, he just skips it just to, you know, mess with people like me, collectors.
Right.
You know, but this one is done in a vein that I think Tom and Keenan are talking about doing, which is a butt crack run, where they have actually
rubbed
the comic on their person somewhere, usually a butt crack, and you can get it verified by DNA artist and scientist Pamela Slumdali. She's in Chicago.
You know, I mean, I like to consider myself a zine aficionado, and I consider Mark one as well, but yeah, you are bringing something new to the table.
Yeah.
I have not heard of a lot of these zines, and yeah. I would buy. I don't know about if I buy the butt crack zine, frankly.
Well, I mean, it's for a higher echelon of collector.
But,
you
know? What does that mean?
It's
for people that really care, Mike.
It's
better
than an autograph.
If you want a little bit of the artist himself, there might be some on that book after the butt crack. So
yeah, absolutely, absolutely, it's what people like me are looking for.
I thought that was a zine nerd, but I guess
you know, it's a step up from the different covers, you know, the varied covers and all the new sales pitches that every new comic has now. You have variant covers, you've got, you know, guest artists doing variant covers and shit. So this is the butt run.
This is the next step.
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about doing maybe 50 to 100.
Yeah. That's like, you have your work cut out for you.
Problem is you have to take a picture of each one because if you don't like document it, then nobody actually believes you. You know, smell doesn't count because people have sprays and stuff.
Yeah, you have to really worry about paper
cuts. Is this something you think you might be interested in doing with your...
I don't think...
It's not a...
I don't think
you could probably get $10 more
each. Gosh.
Who knows how much later.
$10 and...
I feel like I don't even know where to take the show after that.
Well, let's take it to the final comic that I have. This is right up.
Oh wait, what's the last one you got?
Right down the alley. That's something actually.
Okay.
This one is called Dookie Tea and the Porcelain Dream, and it is the most ridiculous fun ride this side of Cut'em High, which Keenan, you gave me a copy of. Thank you. That is a hilarious comic. It's a time traveler and his unlikely time traveling device, an antique turn of the 17th century toilet. And Dookie goes through time, solving problems throughout the universe, all while trying to get a princess back to her specific time and far away from his disgusting toilet. The key there is his timepiece in question only works when the hero uses it.
Oh.
And so, yes, a number two, hence Dookie, you know, T is his name. And in order for anyone to go on the journey with him, they have to be on the toilet, you know. So a princess seating for one, I don't think she's up for a lap dance, if you know what I'm saying.
Wow.
So our hero stumbled upon this magical toilet while high out of his mind and wandered into an antique shop and thought he was in a restroom. So this is brought to you by a new guy. Actually, I don't know if it's a guy. It's author Pat Drellin. No relationship.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of Pat Drellin.
And you're not familiar with any of his or her prior work?
No. And I thought, you know, they may be related to the other Drellin.
Yeah.
Your old Tony Drellin.
Exactly. Right. Tony Drellin.
Right. But there is no relationship there. But, so that's my poll for the week and
Week
or episode. Hey. And
well, I hope
everybody goes out and gets these.
Yeah.
Not too many because I got, you know.
Check those long boxes, folks.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to buying some of those.
Wow.
Thanks, EP.
Is there an out song for this?
Yeah.
There is.
I know.
Come on, play us out, EP.
We're trapped now.
Yeah, that's
true. We need outros.
Well, speaking directly about comics, what was your first comic that you bought, Mike? One you were really into a comic artist?
We're actually almost out of time. I know, unfortunately. We should do some housekeeping. We'll do a little housekeeping. So. Well, just thanking people, talking about what Mark has coming up. He's saying nothing.
No, I don't.
You always have something coming up, man.
I know of things you
have
coming up.
What's the next event you're doing? You going to any shows?
Oh,
you going to SPX?
I'm actually starting to try and do more. I'm usually always doing just the California, LA kind of conventions, and this time I'm doing Comics Art Brooklyn and
Brooklyn, right
and
on.
Then I'm going to be at the one at PS1, the New York the book fair.
Yeah.
And I hear that one's really great. And the one out here
The Printed Matter, LA Art Book Fair?
Printed Matter.
Yeah. Is that the same one that was at MoCA?
Yeah. That's the New York version.
I love
version.
That. I think that's a great show. It's really awesome. And
I really want to go to the New York
And then we're, one, so. And even Vancouver. We're going to go to Vancouver and do try one up there.
Because you guys travel a lot for work
we
stuff.
We travel a lot. We're lucky to. I love traveling.
Yeah.
And so any chance we we're going to Mexico City. We're going to Norway next year.
Wow. And then last year you went to Sweden and the place ended up burning down, right?
That was
Was it a church?
No, this was an amazing place in Sweden called Grafikenshus, and we were invited to do a month-long residency, and
that's
we made
killer.
A lot of comics and printmaking facilities, and it was a beautiful place, and then we came back and then heard it burn to the ground.
Oh,
seriously.
Wow.
So we were the last ones to work in there.
That's crazy. What
kind of really cool.
Did you mention what kind of stuff you were doing there? Did you make?
I got obsessed with this Phantom, you know, the Phantom comics. But over there, Red Cross, and it was the Phantom. And so I started kind of riffing off of my versions of that and not knowing a word of, you know, Swedish, or I was just kind of inserting these kind of random Swedish words into the comics, and then I would hang them up in this museum, and then the people would come by and start laughing, and they would say, "Oh my God, this makes no sense." And I kind of liked that.
Yeah.
But that was fun.
We should also mention your websites, your numerous websites, so in case people.
Okay.
Well, we're going to do some housekeeping. So besides drippybonebooks.com, what's the name of the humans?
Humansforlife.com.
Humansforlife.com. Also, I'll be posting, if you enjoyed the people and places on this episode, you can learn more about them at your public library. No, I'll be posting some stuff at weshouldbeorganizing.com, which is my little website. And then
mine is funchicken.com, one word, funchicken. And then there's also, you know, marktoddart.com.
And also we should thank John and Guan Rong. They're the hosts of the No Show, and they
Thanks
were gracious enough
in.
To fill in tonight.
Yeah.
And actually, John was here earlier. Really nice guy, so thanks a lot for letting us do this. And We have a few minutes. I guess we can go out on, I can talk about Adam Warwick, the nerd rapper.
Sure. Yeah. We should also mention that we're going to be back on the air September 8th at 8 p.m.
What a pro.
So,
what a pro.
Hopefully, if you tune in again, we'll slowly get better at this and not have so much dead air and broken up conversations.
We can't get any worse.
We'll keep getting better, hopefully. But September 8th.
So, basically, we're a fill-in at this point, which is great. We'll be doing it through September every other week. So, what's the date on the next one?
September 8th.
September 8th, and then 2 weeks after that.
It's the 22nd.
Yeah. But I didn't get a chance to talk about Sean Carey. So, I'm definitely going to talk about that next time because it's a really, really interesting story. So, if you listen to the whole show hoping I was going to talk about that, sorry. But I'll get to it next time because it's a great story. And you know what? I'll post something on the website, too. Hey, EP, can you find that on iTunes, my little iTunes thing here? Can you find that song that you downloaded?
Oh, yeah, hold on.
So, I talked to Adam Warlock. Adam Warlock's what you would call, I don't know if you call it nerdcore.
Warlock? Adam Warlock?
Adam Warlock.
Oh, Warlock, okay.
No, that's Rat-a-Tat.
Oh, okay.
Although that's good too. So call it nerdcore, call it geek music, whatever. Adam Warlock raps about comics, TV, movies, video games, and culture, and he loves to make it personal. His story is one of do-it-yourself, independent determination, having gone from a humble website to a full-time music career. And BBC says, you know that it's become a pop culture phenomenon when Adam Warlock releases a satirical rap song, and you know, BBC is an authority.
Is this gonna play us out? Actually?
Yeah, it's gonna play us out.
So I'd just like to thank Mark Todd once again for coming out and being a part of this show.
That's not important.
This is great.
That's not important.
And I'd also like to thank EP for coming in and being the music
man. That dude's a chump.
He'll be back next week as well with another Collector's Corner.
Yeah, Collector's Corner.
For yes.
This is 616, I believe is the name of the track, and produced by Vince Vandal. You can learn more about Adam Warlock at adamwarrock.com. Adam, AdamWarrock. And let's listen to this and maybe we'll talk about it next week. Good night.
Later.
Almost good night. Why is this not playing?
Nobody could mess with this whole steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. Winter soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction. Bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood. Acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pits. For all the villains that he's stealing on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the space one. My movie quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build my fucking mansion in Asgard. And fund the Hellfire Society. Studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops. My mixtape still run. They're in your system. That's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pits. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches of wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hot guy, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second a Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Shit, nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm blind when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gun. I'm Stark calling back with four. All these banks had a run. I'm like Luther when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pits. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616.